Okay, today we are starting a new book. It's called the Orchot Tzadikim, The Ways of the Righteous. And we don't even know who wrote it. It was written in the 1500s, by an Ashkenazi author. But it's a compilation of all the old Rishonim, the Rambam, Ibn Gabirol, the Ramban, and other great authors. So he starts off with an introduction, and his introduction is based on the end of the book of Kohelet. Kohelet is a book written by Shlomo Melech, King Solomon writes three books, Parables, Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, and Kohelet. So this is the end of Kohelet, last line of Kohelet, which is Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, at the end of the matter, know, Et Hayrim Yirav, fear God, and keep His commandments. Because that is what our lives are all about. That's the whole thing about human beings. What is the whole thing about human beings? Fearing God and keeping His commandments. Imagine, what a summation. If you want to sum up a person's main goal in life, two things. Fear God and keep His commandments. Two things. What is our goal in life? Two things. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's it. Two things. It's very simple. Now that's what Shlomo Melech says at the end of Kohelet, after he goes in through all his investigations. He investigates this, investigates that. He comes to this conclusion, which is the main part of the book. The conclusion, the last line, is the main part of the book. And that is two things. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's it. That's the main thing. So now he says, and this is the introduction to the book. So interesting. Where Shlomo Melech ends, he's going to start. So can you imagine? From the end of that book, he's going to start. So it's very fascinating. So how does he start? So he tells us. We have to realize the greatness of Shlomo Melech. Who says this? King Solomon. King Solomon is the greatest genius in the world. And he was a wise person. He was wiser than anyone else. And he was a king, not just of this world, he was a king of the higher world as well. He was a king of all the angels as well. You had to listen to him. And after he saw everything, he tried everything, he tells the world his wisdom. What is his wisdom? Two lines. Number one is, Yirat Shamayim, have fear of heaven, which is so hard to get. It's so, so hard to have fear of heaven. What do you mean? What is fear of heaven? How a person behaves when no one is watching. How does a person behave when no one is watching? That's fear of heaven. How a person behaves when people are watching, that's fear of people. Fear of God is when no one's watching. No one's around. How does a person behave? So there's no one around, I'm hungry. Should I go and sneak around somewhere and get some, you know, non-kosher food? Well, my wife's not around. Should I go sneak away and go fool around with someone else? All this is Yirat Shamayim. This is Yirat Shamayim. It's fear of God. So what does a person do in private? It's not what a person does. How does a person make a bracha in private? In public, make a bracha loud. In private, how does he make a bracha? How does he say Birkat HaMazon? So that is Yirat Shamayim. That's what Yirat Shamayim is. It's so hard to have Yirat Shamayim. You really have fear of Hashem, that Hashem is watching. So that's number one. Number one is fear of God. And that's what he prays in Mishlei, in Eshet Chayil. Right? At Kiddush, what do we say? Eshet Chayil Yimsab, Rachamim Yimkra, Bata Bale Bala, husband heart trusts her. Right? What does it say? Sheker Achen, Vehebele Yofi. Grace is lies, and beauty is vanity. Right? Beauty doesn't last. Beauty is vanity. Isha Yirat Hashem Yitira. A woman who fears God is praiseworthy. So that is the key. The key is fear of God. And Reshit Chokma Yirat Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is fear of God. A person has all the wisdom in the world, but if he doesn't have fear of God, it's just theory. Theory. A person might as well go to college instead of going to yeshiva. Get theory. But a person needs to have that fear of Hashem. And that is what Book of Mishlei parable starts with, Yirat Hashem Reshit Da'at. The beginning of knowledge is fear of Hashem. So that's a very important rule. So Shlomo Melech doesn't just put it over here in Kohelet, he puts it in Mishlei, and he puts it in Eshet Chayil, and he finishes off the Book of Mishlei with this concept. Eshet Chayil finishes off the Book of Mishlei. The concept that the main thing is fear of God. So people say, you know what, look what he says. He said, people say, Shlomo Melech has nothing else to talk about. All he talks about is fear of God, fear of God, fear of God. But the truth is, it's just three lines. All he talks about fear of God is three lines, but these are the main lines. Shlomo Melech Shaya Ashir Mikol Adam. He was the richest man around. It says he had silver in Yerushalayim was like stones. Imagine if you were, instead of walking around looking at the stones, you see piles of silver over there. Hard to imagine, right? He has statues of silver instead of statues of stone, right? You go to these great places, you go to Paris and London and Rome, they have statues of stone. In Yerushalayim, they have statues of silver. Silver was like stone. So he was a very rich man. And he was the wisest of all men. And for him, he could say everything is vanity. Because if I say everything is vanity, they'll say, the rabbi says everything is vanity because he doesn't have it. You know, why is it? The money is vanity. Well, I don't have money. This is vanity. I don't have money. He's the only one who tried everything. He had everything, and he says, you know what? Don't bother. He says, I've tried it all. All this is garbage. Yeah, he had everything. He had everything you want. Anything you can ever desire, Shlomo Melech had it. And you know what he says? Don't bother. Don't bother. It's a waste of time. All this money that Bill Gates has and Warren Buffett and people want, desire all the money. He said, I had it already. It doesn't get you in a better life. Because how much pleasure can you have in your life? I mean, how many? He had 1,000 wives. How many wives can he have a day? I mean, it's crazy. He's mad. He'll go crazy. And they drove him crazy. They did drive him crazy. So the main thing he says is all this is all vanity. Everything, all these physical desires that a person has, we can't take it with us. We can't take them with us. The only thing we can take with us is Yirat Shemayim, mitzvot, and a good name. Right? Tov Shem and Shem Tov. A good name is very important. So it's very important. A person should have a good name in the town, in the place, around. Say that was a good person, that's a good woman, that's a good man, that's a good this, a good couple, a good... It's very important, very, very important. So Shlomo Melech was the wisest of all men. And he had everything. Similarly, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the father of all the prophets. He writes in the Torah, look what he writes in the Torah. He says the same thing. In Parshat Re'eh, I think it is. Ba'ata Yisrael, Ekef, Parshat Ekef. And now Israel. What does God want from you? What does God want from you? Yirat Shemayim. What does God want from you? That's it. Ki im liyirat Hashem Elokecha. It's only fear the Lord your God. And what, same thing David HaMelech says in Tehillim, in Psalm 119. Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem. The beginning of wisdom is fear of Hashem. So, if you see all these great people telling the same thing, there must be something to it, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu tells you the main thing is Yirat Shemayim. David HaMelech says the main thing is Yirat Shemayim. Shlomo HaMelech says the main thing is Yerushalayim. Must be something to it. And Shlomo HaMelech he had everything. He was rich, he was smart, he had everything, and he tells you this is the main thing. So if you see these great people telling the same thing, there must be something. Now we have to realize also, a person's got to realize the greatness of human beings. Because why do people do wrong things? Because they don't know how great they are. People don't realize how great they are. How do we know how great a human being is? How do we know? I'll give you a clue. It's in yesterday's parasha. We're created in the image of Hashem. It's very hot. What does that mean? Tzelem Elokim bara otam. In the image of a God, He created them. It's mind-boggling. We create the image of Hashem. What does that mean? We have spiritual possibilities that nothing else has. Animals don't have these spiritual possibilities. We have spiritual possibilities because we are godlike in a sense. Our souls are godlike. So we are the choicest of all creations. That's why we're created last. Human beings were created last because everything else was created for us. Right? So if we behave properly, Hashem says, I created you last. Everything, all this is for you. And if we don't behave properly, Hashem says, even the ant came before you. So yeah, hopefully we behave well. Hashem will say, everything was created for you. So why were we created? Look what he says. So number one is, human beings were the choicest of all creatures. That God created this world. Because we have the spiritual semblance of Hashem. And we can do work that no one else can do. Yesh bo neshama, we have a soul that can fathom from the lowest worlds to the highest worlds. So that's the trouble. We're not in touch with our souls. We don't know how great our souls are. That's our problem. We don't know. We can't see the soul. So, whatever Hashem made the world, everything is for us. And that's why Hashem gave us the Torah, to teach us how to behave. And we see this right at the beginning of the Torah, right? Adam never had a Torah. If he had a Torah, all he had was one mitzvah. But he never had a whole system. It's not enough to have one mitzvah. A person's going to have a system. Why? Because you only have one mitzvah. So what about the rest of my life? What do I do with my rest of my life? Hashem, why did Hashem give us so many mitzvot? Hashem could have given us 7 mitzvot. 613, you know, it's hard to imagine. 613, don't even think about it, because it's so much, it's so vast. You know, it's amazing. Think about it. 600, should I say it again? It's so hard, I mean, it's hard to penetrate. There are 248 positives and 365 negatives. That's a lot of mitzvot. Why do we need so many mitzvot? Because without the mitzvot, our lives would be empty. Empty and no direction. Should I do this? 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 So now we have all these mitzvot to us. Don't do this. Do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. So you run your life based on signposts. We have signposts. The signposts, without the signposts, without ways, we'd be lost. We have GPS, the godly positioning system. We have the mitzvot, the positioning system. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do that. This is the way you behave, this is the way you don't behave. The trouble is people don't want to listen, that's the trouble. The Torah says behave nicely, and then we don't want to behave nicely. So that's the problem, that is our problem. We think we know more, that's the problem. A person thinks they know more than God, it's the grounds for disaster, So whatever Hashem created was for us, we are the highest pinnacle of creation. The trouble is we can't see our soul. If only we could see our soul to see how far the soul goes up and be in contact with the spirituality. So what does Yaakov Avinu say? Look at Yaakov Avinu says. And this, we sang this for the children on Simchat Torah. Hamalach ha-goel oti, the angel who saved me, he called her from all evil, Yivarech ne'arim, he should bless my children. Can you imagine that Yaakov Avinu had angels looking after him? And Yaakov was the one who fought the angel as well. So even the angels serve righteous people. And the angels are the ones serving. Imagine, he had angels walking around with him, guarding him. Right? It says at the end, before he met Esav, it says, Vayikra Hashem ha-makom ahu Machanaim. He called the place, what's Machanaim? Two camps. What two camps? A camp of angels, Rashi says. Imagine, he had a camp of angels guarding him. It says, when he sent messengers to Esav, what's the word for messengers? Yishlach malachim. Rashi says again, malachim mamash. He sent real angels. Imagine you have Esau coming with 400 men. Who's going to stop Esau? You think Esau's going to be stopped by himself? It's a miracle. There's no other way. It's a miracle. Esau wanted to kill Yaakov. Esau would have killed him. If Esau had the chance of killing him, he would have killed him. What stopped Esau? Spiritual forces. The spiritual forces that Hashem sent to save Yaakov. For Od Matzid. Okay. We find also angels came to save the righteous. And where do we see it? Hizkiyahu HaMelech. Who was Hizkiyahu HaMelech? One of the greatest righteous kings. What happened in the time of Hizkiyahu? The Assyrians, the same Assyrians who destroyed the northern kingdom, came to destroy the southern kingdom. And they did. They destroyed many cities in Israel, and they come to surround the walls of Yerushalayim. What happens? Look what it says. The Book of Kings says that an angel came. At that night, the angel of God came out and destroyed the camp of the Assyrians. So look at the power of the angels helping the righteous. Look at that. 180,000 Assyrians died that night. Can you imagine? A plague. A tremendous plague came. Wiped them out. Who survived? Three people. The king and his two sons. And what happened? He was plotting to kill them. As sacrifices. To his deity. And they killed him instead. What a wild story. So that is a person who behaves well, but Hashem sends angels to save them. Amazing. I'll tell you a story that happened to me. I don't know if I told you the story. I was in London and I got stuck in United Airlines. I can't. It's a nightmare. I can't. It's a horrible, horrible nightmare. United Airlines. Whenever I think of United Airlines, I have a nightmare. It's a nightmare. So I'm, okay, plane is 4 o'clock. We're in the plane, 4 o'clock. Can't get off. Sorry. Technical fault. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. We're working on it. Sorry, we can't take off now. Why? Because we ran out of time. The crew has to rest. The crew goes to rest. And we are stuck in the airport. Because the airport, okay, the United Airlines over there, they give us a sheet of paper. Go to this hotel, everything's taken care of. No problems. So, okay. So now, number one is, they don't provide you with a bus to go to the airport. You've got to take a taxi. And it's late at night, the taxis charge you terrible, $80, £80 it was, to the taxi, just to go to the hotel. I get to the hotel, it's like now 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and there's 80 people waiting outside the hotel. I mean, lines outside the hotel. And the hotel says, we're full, we don't know anything about this, too bad, stuck, okay? So, I go, so, you know, there's a lobby over there, I go sit in the lobby, put my feet up, I'm resting in the lobby over there. I'll stay in the lobby tonight. That's it. So what happens is, Everyone's crowding around the desk, and they call United Airlines, United Airlines, United Airlines. And for United Airlines, says, okay, we found a hotel for everyone. Send them by taxi, let them pay for a taxi, and let them go to this hotel. Again, it's like 20, 40 miles. I don't know how many miles away it was. And they go 20 miles away, whatever it was. And I say, I'm not going anywhere. It's already 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine? 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you go to the hotel. I'm staying here. So I'm the last person left in the hotel. And what happens? They come to me and they say, we have a room for you. It's a miracle. Everyone else is schlepping around. I don't know where they ended up. And I'm the last one there. And they said, aren't you going to go? I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. They said, sir, we have a room for you.
Room for the rabbi.
It's a miracle. I've never seen anything like it. A miracle. It's like a miracle. Everyone else went somewhere. I don't know where they went. In the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know where they go. They have a room for me. Okay, so I had 3 hours of sleep. Baruch Hashem. Had my own room, had my own bed. Quiet, peace of quiet. Miracle. It's a miracle. No question. Miracle. So that is a person. Hashem helps a person. I don't know why it's still late. It was. It could have helped me earlier, but I'm not complaining. I got a room. I got a bed. I was going to stay on the sofa. I don't care. But it's amazing. It's a miracle. It definitely was a miracle. So that is a very, very important thing to do. Very, very important. Trust in God and try and stay above the crowd. Try and stay away from the crowd. Don't be part of the crowd. Try and stay away from the crowd. So everyone's complaining and they're bugging them. I'm just sitting on the sofa and they have a room for me. So that's Baruch Hashem. It's a miracle. So we see that's how the angel helps. Angel, Hashem sends an angel to help. Amazing.
Why do you say angel and not like when you bust the kids? Why do you?
I didn't say it. Yaakov Avinu said it.
No, why did Yaakov Avinu say the angel rather than Hashem himself?
Because he saw Hashem's spiritual forces. He says, right. That's a big question. What you asked is a very, very deep question. And where do we see this? A big machloket. By Shalom Aleichem. When we come, the Shabbat comes in. Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Hashalom. What are you saying? What are you saying? Shalom Aleichem to the king. Say Shalom Aleichem to God. What are you saying? Shalom Aleichem to the angels. So the Gemara says in Shabbat, Daf Kuf Yud Tet. Says when a person comes home on Shabbat, two angels accompany them. One is good and one is bad. Not good. You're right. It's a good language. And if everything's set, all the tables clean, everything's set, the good angel says, may next Shabbat be just like. And the bad angel is forced to say, Amen. And the angel, if the table is not set, is a balagan in the house. The bad angel says, next week should be like this. And the good angel is forced to say, Amen. So which angels are we invited to a house? These are two angels that come with us. Imagine. And what do we say? Barchuri leshalom, bless us, angels. Are you allowed to tell an angel to bless you? And the answer, we bring a proof from Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu is praying to God, send his angels, save me. So we asked God for his angels. Yes, we asked for God to save us through the angels because that's the vehicle that God uses. Obviously, God can do it himself. That's a big miracle. There's different levels of miracles. You don't ask for the highest level of miracle, you get a lower level of miracle. So the higher level of miracle is Hashem himself took us out of Egypt. Lo alidei malach, lo alidei saraf. He didn't do it through an angel. He could have done it through many angels. Then Hashem loves us so much in himself. So then he says, Hine ani sholeach malachi lefanecha. I'm going to send you the angel to take you into Israel. I'm not going to do it anymore. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to pray, Hashem, please, you. We don't want the angel, we want you. So obviously it's a different level of hashgacha. What's called hashgacha? What is hashgacha? Divine providence. Who looks after you? Is it an angel or is it God himself? If it's God himself, he's got a very high level of hashgacha. If it's an angel, it's low level, but it's still better than nothing. It's better to have an angel than have no one, right? It's better to have an angel and have Trump on your side. I don't know. So we want an angel. We want the angel to look after us. That's the angel you can trust at least. You can't trust anyone else. Okay. So some people have more hashgacha. So even though we're all created equal, nevertheless, some people are higher than others spiritually. How do you become higher spiritually? You work on it. Very simple. How do some people become richer than others? I don't know. Some people work harder. Some people get brilliant ideas. Same thing applies in the spiritual world. Some people are walking. Two people walking together. One is on a high level. One is on a low level. What does it depend on? It depends on their deeds. It depends on their thoughts. It depends on their name, reputation. So look at this. We have known for many years, it says, there's a person who is greater than others, even though we're all equal, and all of us come from the same foundation, except the soul of one person has ascended to the spiritual heights. For he caused, this is what I was talking about yesterday, his wisdom to rule over his desires. Self-control. His brains rules over his heart. That's like a brain's got to rule over their heart. A lot of people, they just run after their emotions. It's very dangerous. Emotions, 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 they destroy themselves. Jealousy. Three things. Kina, jealousy. Tava is desire. Oh boy. And honor. Three things destroy a person. We have to control these three things. Number one, we have to control our desires. Number two, we have to control our jealousy. And number three, we have to control our honor-seeking, ego. Control those three. If you can control those three, you're made. Control your three, you're made. So, jealousy is a destroyer of everything. A person jealous, jealous, jealous can destroy everything. There's only one thing you're allowed to be jealous for. Kinat Sofri, what does that mean? To be jealous of people who are righteous. I want to be like that person. I want to be like this person. There was a very famous story. One of the rabbis of Telz. What was his name? Quickly. Gifter. Rabbi Gifter. Rabbi Gifter, he says he was a kid and he has, collects Rebbe cards. Not today you have these, what do they call these cards? These baseball cards, yeah. I remember I started a tradition. I started a tradition in Vancouver. When I was in Vancouver, my kids came home with these baseball cards. I said, my friends, you're not going to collect, my kids are not going to collect baseball cards. I go to the store, buy them Rebbe cards. So, and that time, so now it became a new thing in the school. Everyone started trading Rebbe cards. I got this one, you got this one, I'll switch you up. It's fantastic. So he started putting pictures on his wall. This Rebbe, this Rebbe, this Rebbe. And then he left the space. He says, put a knight over there, why not you? He's talking to himself. Why can't I get my picture on the Rebbe card? That's a great man. He became a very great man. So that was his idea was who your hero is, that's who you end up being. That's disgusting what people put on their walls today. The little kids. The sports people. Actors and actresses. What else? Huh?
Cartoons.
Cartoons? No, I don't know what people put. Heavy metal, I saw one guy. Heavy metal, skull and crossbones. I don't know what they put. All sorts of stuff. But that's what they're going to end up with. That's who you're going to end up with. Who our heroes are, that's who you end up with. That's what we aspire to be. What we aspire to be is Moshe Rabbeinu, Abraham Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Well, that's who we want to be. That's our heroes. These guys are not our heroes. We don't know who these people are. It's amazing how many Jews are caught up in this trap. Of which team you support, and this and that, the baseball. I don't even follow this garbage. It's garbage, right?
I don't know.
Good for you. So some people are higher than others. Why? Because their souls have risen up. Why? Because they are controlling their desires instead of their desires controlling them. They're in control. The brains control their emotions. Look what he says over here. The soul of one person ascended to the spiritual heights. He caused his wisdom to rule over his desire, while the other person, his desire, rules over his wisdom. And therefore he walks all his days in darkness and feels like a blind man walking down the road. So the person who has wisdom is not blind anymore. The wisdom gives him light. I know what to do. I can see what to do. I know what to do. But a person doesn't know what to do, that's a sign he doesn't know. If he doesn't know, why? Because he's blind. How's he blind? Because the emotions cloud a person's judgment. It's very hard. Whenever I went by my gut, disaster. It was a disaster. The person's got to control. I say it's very hard to work today in corporations, or I know, working in a school. People backstab each other. It's a disaster. The egos, you work anywhere. There's ego and there's this and that. And it breaks the whole relationship. And a person does the wrong move, they're out. One wrong move, you're out. Because you've got to work together as a family, in a sense. You're working together in the office. You've got to get along. If you don't get along, you're out. Very simple. So a person's got to know how to deal with others, how to deal with these emotions inside. We've got to know how to deal with our emotions. Our emotions can destroy us. Our emotions can destroy marriages. Emotions can destroy people. A person's going to have their brains rule over their emotions. And unfortunately, people work with their emotions. We get hurt inside. But I got hurt. I got hurt. So who hurts you the most? Who hurts a person the most? The ones who love you the most. The ones you love the most. They hurt you the most. But a person's got to put things in perspective. Marriage is ups and, you know, people don't realize that. Even the best marriages, you see people walking around, best marriages in the world, you think there's no ups and downs? It's ups and downs. Just make sure the ups are higher than the downs, that's all. But a person's got to know. And about that's why the ring. You remember that famous story of the ring? Shlomo Melech's ring? He went to the jewelers. Make me a ring that when I'm happy, it will bring me down. And when I'm down, it will bring me up. And the jeweler says, what are you talking about? No such thing. He goes around, this jeweler, that jeweler, that jeweler, until the jeweler says, King, I can do it for you. I'm going to make you a ring that when you're really happy, it's going to make you down a little bit. And when you're really down, it's going to make you up. What did he do? He made a ring that it says on it, Gam ze yavor, even this will pass. This is a very important technique that we have to know in our lives. Everything passes. The good passes, and the bad also passes. Even the bad passes. There's going to be good days. And we've got to tell people when they get married. There's going to be good days. Some of them are going to be beautiful days. Just take pictures, take videos when you have good days. Very, very important. Because when things are not so good, play back the videos. You have good pictures and you have bad pictures. Keep the good pictures in your head. Because there's good days in life and there's bad days in life. And that's everyone's life. We're all human beings. We go through high patches and low patches and try to keep the highs and lows stable. Keep the medium. Don't go too high and don't crash too low. But it's good to have pictures and good to have videos of the good times. Supposed to say, look at these good times. So think about the good times. Don't think about the bad times. Think about the good times. And try and get the bad times become good times again. Because life is ups and downs. So therefore you pass a ring, this will pass. The good will pass. The bad will pass. Everything passes. You have to realize that our emotions can get the better of us, and we have to make sure not to run our lives according to our emotions. You run your life according to our brains. It's so hard to do. But that is why we have Torah, that's why we have brain, that's why we have knowledge. Knowledge is the one, brains rule over the heart. Because brains should rule out over the heart. Okay, let's go a bit more in detail. So he says, there's two people walking down the street. One person's on a high level, one person on a low. They look the same. You can't tell. One person is really, his mind is in God, and the other person's mind is in his food. What was? So there's two separate ways and paths of life. One is in control of his emotions, one is in control of his desires, one is not in control of his desires. So look what he says now. This is very, very important. Chamisha kochot yesh be'adam. There are five kinds of energies in man. Senses, the five senses. Hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch. Five senses. And we don't do anything without one of them. Each action a person takes is through one of these five senses. And our thoughts work through our senses. Our senses are our spies. Right? How do you know if it's nice weather outside? You look out the window, say, I spies. Or you look it up on the winter, let me say it. Or you listen to the news recaster. Or you'll go outside and you'll see. You'll feel it. You'll feel the rain today. You felt the rain. You'll see the clouds, you'll see this. It's all through our senses. All this information comes through our senses. However, the brain has different energies as well. And all the senses are filtered through these energies. What are these energies? Look what he says. The brain has many character traits. There's pride. There's humility. There's memory and there's forgetfulness. There's joy and there's depression. There's shame, and there's no shame. And many, many kinds of traits. So all this information we're getting through our senses is filtered through our character traits. All the information we get is filtered. How I react is not pure logic. Because it filters through my character traits, and then things come out. So it's important. So we have five senses, and we get all the information, but our thoughts go through, filter through the brain. The brain has different emotions. And therefore, a person's got to be very careful. to attain the final good. As a final good, to try and purify their brain and their desires to get the goodness. Okay, so that is a person that is satisfied. How do you get rich? Who is a rich person? A person who is
happy with his library.
It's very hard to have. It's very hard to get to that level. It's very hard to be happy. I'm happy with my spouse. I'm happy with my children. It's so hard. I'm happy with my grandchildren. Oh, that's even better. I'm happy with my house. I'm happy with my whatever I have. Thank God. Thank God many times. It can always be worse. It can always be better. But they've got to learn to be happy with what they have. So, except one thing. David HaMelech. Look what he says. Marav tuvcha shetzafanta lirecha. How great is the glory that you have left for those in the future. I crave olam haba. I crave. I'm not satisfied in this world. I want the best of olam haba. I want to be in the highest level of olam haba. I'm satisfied everything physical, but the spiritual I'm not satisfied. Miyagur ba'olecha, David HaMelech says, Psalm 36. Who can go into your high levels? That's David HaMelech. That's the greatest David HaMelech. And what does he say? If you have a pure heart. The person who has a pure heart. So, what is your pure heart? What does a pure heart mean? Try and rid one's mind from all the other emotions. No jealousy. No desires. No honor. Ego. No ego. Rid the heart from that. Who can dwell in the high mountain of God? And that's a person who can rid his desires of these things in his head. Yes, Adam Shu Balchem Makwes Tami. There's a person who gets angry all the time. This is from the Rambam, by the way. Exactly. This is Orchot Tzadik. The beauty of this book is, it's not one book. It's many good pieces from different places. It's exactly from the Rambam. Bilchot Deot. You see the same thing. Some people get angry all the time, and then some people are very calm all the time. Let's break out what, right? Four kinds of levels of anger. What are the four levels of anger? Quickly, let's go through them. Number one is. Quickly. Angry. Person easily angered and easily pacified. Person very hard to anger. Well, once you anger him, forget about it. Never get pacified. Bears a grudge all the time. Grudge. It's very hard. Those are very hard people to deal with. Number three is a person who never gets angry, and if they do, they're easily pacified. That's the best. And then there's a person who's very easily angered and very hard to pacify. It's the worst. We should try and keep away from that. That's the worst level. Person should try their best not to get angry. That's the best, not to get angry. Everyone gets angry. And if it gets angry, forgive and forget as soon as possible. So the guy says, sorry. I'm sorry, I can't forget. It's over. Don't have to tell me again. That's the highest level of thinking. There's some people are very, very proud. And some people are very, very humble. Some people are very, very desirous. Where do you buy this from? I want to get it. Where do you get this from? I want to get this. I want to have a whole list of things to buy. But Lot is bad, I'm sure, never be satisfied. And some people are very pure, and they don't need anything. I'm satisfied with little. And some people are very, very desirous. They'll never be happy, all the money in the world. As Shlomo Melech says, it's my favorite line. Ohev kesef, you love silver, lo yisba kesef. Silver will never keep him satisfied. Person loves money, how much money he has, that'll be enough. It'll never be enough. The Gemara says, Yesh lo mane rotze matayim. He has 100, he wants 200. Well, double it. Has 1,000,000, he wants 2. He has 10 million? 20. He has 20? 40. It just keeps on going up. And then he says, some people are very impatient. And some people are very, very quick. They're patient. Some people are patient, some people are impatient. So, some people are misers, and some people spend. But we have to find this, what Rambam says, is find the golden mean. The Rambam calls it a golden mean. Not to be on one extreme, not to be the other extreme. To be normal. That's normal. I don't know what today's normal is, but this is the Jewish normal. Jewish normal is to be in the middle of all the traits. Not too happy, not too sad. Right in the middle. Smile, crazy. Not to be too mean and not to be too generous, otherwise you're going to lose everything you have. So a person's going to try and find this middle of all the traits. And then he says, and this is again from the Rambam. Rambam says, some things a person has from their youth. some of our traits come, you can remember your traits from how you acted when you were a kid. What's the earliest you can remember? I remember when I was 4 years old. That's as far back. Some people can remember they're three. How far back do you remember?
What's the question?
How far back do you remember? What age?
Five.
Five? Not bad.
Five.
So what kind of guy was I? No, I'm not going to answer that question. But this way I know what was my natural tendencies. That's your natural tendency. The way you were when you were a kid, that's who you really are. If you improved on that, you've grown. If you did worse than that, you decreased. We have to try over the years to try and become a better people. So I was like this when I was a kid. I was self-centered. I'm just giving an example. Self-centered, kleptomaniac. I would go to supermarkets and steal. I'm just giving an example. I'm giving the worst case. I didn't listen to my parents. I was abusive. I fought my siblings. That's who I was when I was a kid. Now I don't do that. Baruch Hashem. That's growth. But a person says, you know what? I was such a sweet kid, but now I'm so mean. It's the other way around. So we have to realize who we really were, who we really are, that's who we really are. That's our genes. That's genetics. Genetics is what were you like as a kid? And now what am I like? Did I grow or did I go up or down? So that's number one is genetics. Number two is what we learn. You learn from books, or we learn from people around us. That's why peer pressure is so dangerous. You can take the best kids, you put them in the worst framework, and you know what happens to them? They're destroyed. They get destroyed. That's why it's important where the kids go to school, who they hang out with. It's very, very critical. Today, it's not just going anywhere. It's on your phone. Who are you hanging out on the phone? Which websites do you visit? Which websites you don't visit? That's who you are. That's what happens to a person. So that does not belong to a person from the beginning of their creation. But he learns them from other people. So look, this is comparison. This is not from the Rambam. Now he adds, this is a little bit of the Orchot Chayim, Orchot Tzadikim. He said, all of this is like preparing a dish. Now the ladies can understand this. I don't know. Unless you cook, you won't understand this. Okay. Let's imagine we're cooks. Okay, one of you cooks. So you prepare a dish. You need vegetables, you need meat, water, salt, pepper. All these ingredients. You have to put them in a certain measurement. If you get the measurements wrong, you're going to ruin it, right? Puts too little meat, it's going to be meager. Puts too much then, too much salt, you can't eat it, it's salty. Same thing applies to our traits. That's a very good analogy. This is the Rambam does not bring down. The analogy is, we are cooking ourselves to be perfect people. How do you cook yourself? And the answer is, how much of this trait? You cook your dish. How much of this trait? How much of this trait? How much of this trait? Because that's how you get the whole package. We are, who are we? A sum total of all our traits. It's like an orchestra. Can you imagine hearing an orchestra? All you can hear is a trombone. Where's the rest of the orchestra? Right? You've got to have a balance of different things. That's the job of the sound engineer. That sound engineer's got to equalize everything and try and get a nice... It's amazing. We have to try and perfect ourselves, our character traits, by getting everything balanced. That's the hard part. The hard part is how to balance everything. He puts too little of what he requires much and puts in too much of what he requires, but a little, the food will be spoiled. So the expert cook will know how to put every ingredient in the right time. Then the food will be pleasant and sweet. It's the same thing, the qualities. A person needs modesty, embarrassment. But if he has pride, impudence, and cruelty too much, what kind of character is that? So a person's got to know, what kind of character do I want? What is my goal? How much do I need of kindness? How much do I need of sympathy? How do I need empathy? How much do I need of happiness and joy? And these are the ingredients of life. These are critical ingredients of life. And we have to balance this every day. We have to try and figure out, did I do right? Did I do wrong? Am I in the right track or wrong track? Am I a mad person, angry person, good person, sweet person? That's how we have to behave. Okay, now going back to the Rambam. So that was a little bit, I like this commentary. The commentary of comparing it to a dish. Is that nice? This is not in the Rambam. He quotes the Rambam, and then see, so it's additional. He's quoting the previous sources, and he's adding and explaining. Very nice, very nice, very nice. And then he goes back to the Rambam. A person by the nature may have a little bit more of this trait, a little bit less of this trait. And sometimes he has bad traits, sometimes good traits. He's got to start balancing everything out. And just like there are much pains and anguish and troubles if the body is sick, so too if the soul is sick. What is the sickness of the soul? A person's traits are not balanced. It's a sickness. Some people have very bad tempers. That's the sickness of the soul. Soul is sick. Some people are very mean and miserly. Sickness of the soul. They're sick. So they have to start balancing their soul. That's from the Rambam as well. Yeshayahu Navi, Isaiah probably just quoted a little bit before, in chapter 5. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. There's sickness in the soul. What does that mean? Good things, they say, is bad. And the bad things are good. That's the day society. A person has a good time doing bad things. They go bad, good. And they have a bad time, come to shul, it's like bad, oh, can't. Like a bad time. They call good bad and they call bad good. So they're doing bad things, great. Saw a great movie, what was it? R-rated, and there was violence and there was this, great, it was fantastic, right? The Joker. I saw The Joker. Oh, so much grass. Awesome. Awesome movie. Awesome. I didn't see it. I'm just hearing what's going on. It's all about violence and evil, basically. It's glorifying evil. That's what they're worried about. They're worried someone will go in the movie theater with a gun and shoot people up. What kind of movie is that? What kind are you showing people with? What are you glorifying? What is society glorifying? So that's what it says. That's what Isaiah says. Yeshayahu Navi says. Good is evil, and they call evil good. And then he says, this is Shlomo Melech, it's amazing. This is also very, very, this is movie theaters. Who leave the way of the upright to walk in the ways of darkness. Ways of darkness. You go to the movie theater, it's dark. My rabbi used to call it Yoshvei Choshech v'tzal mavit. People who sit in darkness and the fear of death. I remember when I was a kid, my aunt took me to a movie. She was very big on movies, my aunt. I was maybe 5, 6 years old. And it was a Roman... One of these Roman, really violent Roman, what do you call them? Gladiator. Oh, God, I couldn't take it. God, the blood and the guts running. So I went to the bathroom, and I didn't want to come back. And I forced them all to leave. God, I made them all, I think I did a mitzvah when I was a kid. I made them all leave the theater. You ruined my movie. I couldn't take it. It was disgusting. It was like violence, gory. As a kid, how could you sit through this? But today, kids are being raised on this. The more blood, the better for them. They like it. They love it. What kind of natural is that natural? To love violence, to love blood. Okay, if you can imagine, it's just pretend, but it looks really lifelike. It's meant to be lifelike. Mm-hmm. So that's the trouble. That's how society's being raised. That's the sickness of the soul. That person's sick, so have to go. Okay. There are many people, he says, who want to do the good. Most of us don't want to do bad. We want to do good. We want to do good. They just don't know what is good for them. They plan each day to go and be the best they can. But they fail. Why? So he says, number one, they don't realize their own personality. Number one is we've got to examine ourselves. That's the hard part. It's very hard to examine ourselves. What is my strengths and what are my weaknesses? I got to examine myself. No one's going to do it for me. And he doesn't perceive clear his ugly ways. So we can see things in other people. We can't see things in ourselves. We see things in our people. Look at the camera, though. I think the sound got. I think the battery got. Okay. Okay. Doesn't matter. It's okay. It's on the wall. It's on the wall over there. So leave it. Just have a cut and paste. So many people, it says, whose desire is to take hold of the good path, they don't know what is good for them. That's number one, is to know what is good. And number two is to know where we are standing. And that's why all the sports, they all have coaches. What is the purpose of a coach? What does a coach do? He tells you what to do and?
Direction.
Direction. Very good. Direction. Tells you directions. He tells you where you're holding and how you need to improve. That's what we need. Each one of us needs a spiritual coach. Imagine. It says the Rabbi Yosef Karo, he got to the point where he had a malach, an angel, right? Remember that? Teaching him. A magid. What did the Maggid do to him? Every day he says, you didn't learn enough Mishnah, you didn't learn enough this, you got to do this, you got to do this. This is what you got to improve. This is the Musar. In other words, a spiritual coach. Hashem gave him a spiritual coach. Huh? We all need it. Exactly what we need. We need a spiritual coach. Exactly. But how do we get a spiritual coach? And the answer is, this is a spiritual coach. These books are the spiritual coach. So number one is, we got to know, where are we now? Where are we holding? Are we good? Are we not good? We're so good. What do we need to improve? Where do we need to improve? That's a spiritual coach. Otherwise, we're going to fail. If we don't have a spiritual coach, we're going to fail. People are going to fail. So other people, we can tell their mistakes. And they're amazing. Look at it. This one, look at him. Look how he eats. Look how he dresses. Look how he, this one. What about yourself? Look in the mirror. I can't judge myself. Why can't we judge ourselves? It says in a Jewish court case, we don't believe the guy about himself. Adam Karov Alasmo. He is his own relative. You can't get a relative closer than yourself. You don't believe a man. You don't believe in a Jewish court on someone else who's your relative. How can you believe someone in himself? You can't believe him. He's biased. We're biased on ourselves. Me, I'm fine. But the other guy's a Russia. This guy's evil. This guy's evil. What about you? I don't know. So we need a coach. So that person will never do it. Why? So look at this. He does not check himself. So we have to learn how to check ourselves, and we know how to balance ourselves. And we have two things. Number one is, check myself. Where am I now? And how far am I to my destination? Where am I going? So there's two things. Most people want to be good. I want to be good. But number one is, when you define good, what is good? Number two is, how do I get to be good? How do I change myself so these things will come to me? This is the test. This is the test where we're up to. The test of life. And we said, let's just recap two things which are very important. Number one is Yirat Shemayim, and number two is do as many mitzvot as possible. But even then, we have to realize there's our senses, which are the spies, and the character traits. All the senses go through the character traits. So a person has good character traits, make the right decisions. A person has bad character traits, they're going to make the wrong decisions. So we have to improve our character traits, but the trouble is we need a spiritual coach to improve our character traits. If my wife tells me all the time, you got a flaw over here, you got a problem over here, you got to fix this, and you got to fix that, and I listen to her, that's a haham, that's a wise person. But the guy gets angry, my wife says, you have this problem. So, get out of here, don't tell me my problems, it's enough, and you have this problem as well, and you have this problem. They start talking about each other's problems, but not the right way. They're not trying to fix each other, they're trying to attack each other. That's bad. Fixing is hard, because then you need a listening ear. It's very hard. It's very hard to give someone else musar, especially a relative. So, Bezrat Hashem, we'll all be successful. It's a very hard. Life is hard. Life is not easy. Life is hard. What do you mean hard? It's not hard. Life is very easy. But if you want to be successful spiritually, that's a challenge. Bezrat Hashem, we'll all be successful spiritually. Bezrat Hashem. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming. We should all be successful.